My name is Lorna Draycott. I was born in 1931 in the Leeds Hospital. My dad was Arthur Anforth, and he was a lamplighter for the Rothwell and Woodsford district, and he became the water inspector in later times. I lived at 6 Midland Street, which was a little stone cottage in Woodsford. It's not there anymore. My mother was called Rose Ann Cook, before she was married. I've got two brothers and a sister.
Tell me more about what your dad did then.
Well, my dad was a lamp man on the old gas lamps, and he used to go about in a little cart with a ladder to go up these lamp standards and clean them. And then he became a water inspector. They moved him up one. That was my dad. But he was in the army.
So he was in the army during the war?
Yes, 1942, but he was invalided out because he had a heart attack.
So were there lots of gas lights in the village?
All. As far as I know, all gas lights. He had a little bike with a ladder, a collapsible ladder, and he used to go up and down and clean them.
And did he have to light the lights every evening?
No, I actually think that they were probably automatic.
But he had to take the little things out and clean them.
That's right, and change the bulbs or whatever.
And how long did he do that for then?
I'd say probably about 5 years, something like that. And then he was promoted to water and lighting inspector for Rothwell Council.
And where did he work then?
Both Rothwell and Woodsford and Knowlton.
And what did that involve, do you know?
Well, the inspection for water, underpipes and things like that. He was really an all-rounder.
And where were you living then? You were still in Midland Street,
were you?
I
was in 1 Bryngate then, on Green Lee, because we had to move, because the house that we were living in, we was next door to the fish shop, and it brought rats, and we were overrun. So the council moved us.
And what kind of house did you move into?
New house, brand new one, 3 bedrooms. It was quite a nice house.
And did your mum have a job?
No. Later she did, when we grew up, she had a job at the school with meals for the children.
And what else did you do when you were growing up in Woodsford?
Well, I liked the cinema. I was often at the cinema because I like music and I used to like the musicals best of all. It was a good cinema, and the man that looked after it, I've forgotten his name, but he was a good man. And we used to go to what they called the children's session on a Saturday afternoon, but we called it, just had a fancy name, a penny rush, because it cost us a penny. But I loved that place.
And was it full on a Saturday afternoon?
Always, yes.
And can you remember the films that you used to watch?
Usually, I liked the Jones Family. That were a series that were very good. But I didn't like the cowboy things. Oh, and once I went with my dad when I was about 5 years old, and it was Janet MacDonald and Nelson Eddy, wonderful singers. And I remember I can take you to the spot. I remember looking into Dad's face and saying, when I get to be a lady, I want to sing like that. And he laughed. He said, yes, love, we know all about that. And we went home. But by the age of 12, I was singing my head off, and I still am.
Did you get out of the village very much when you were a child?
Yes. We used to go camping to Lebbetston near Scarborough, but it was always under canvas because we couldn't afford to pay anything else.
And how did you get there?
By B&S Bus.
And was that a local bus company?
Yes, it was. There was that company and the West Riding Company.
Where did you catch the bus?
Down at the Midland Street Public House. Yes, that's where we caught it. But you had to book in advance for that.
And this was your summer holidays when
that
you were a child?
That was my summer holidays when I was a child.
What can you remember about the shops in the village?
Right next door to us, there was what they call Miss Bingham's. And that she sold men's outfitters. And right at the side of that, it was Miss Downs, and she sold shoes, the shoe shop. And then right at the bottom on the main road, next to Paley's Bun Shop, there was Miss Brooke. and she sold groceries. My mum had all her groceries from her.
What did your dad do in his spare time when he was...
Oh, he made radios. And I remember I was 5 years old, and Dad got really excited because he made the first television. And he put it down the cellar on a stone, what we called a stone, and I remember seeing it. I'd only be five, and I remember the lady shaking her hand, you know, and it was fantastic. And then the war came, so they took Dad's licence from him because nobody would allow that kind of thing. But when he came out of the army, he made another set and put it in an old gramophone cabinet, and Dad had television, the first television in Oulton and Woodlesford. And he used to charge batteries for people, you know.
And how had he learnt to make a TV?
Because it was Dad. Anybody would tell you now, if you meet a Woodlesford person, he was a genius at these things. And he just made a second television. And people used to come from far and near to watch the football matches. And he put it all in a box, in the old gramophone box. I've got a picture somewhere.
And did he charge people to watch it?
No. That wasn't my dad.
When you were 5 years old, that would be in 1936, mm-hmm. 1937. Mm-hmm. Can you remember listening to the radio as well?
Oh, yes. And I can remember watching. Yes. Yes, I do. I do remember.
And what kind of programmes can you remember?
Well, Mum and Dad weren't really interested, but it was Dad that was interested in the actual thing itself.
So he wasn't much interested in listening to what came out of it?
No, not really.
It was the practical part
exactly,
of making it?
Because he wouldn't be beat, and I can remember it plain as anything.
That's amazing, that, for to be able to see TV in Woodlesford
before the
war.
Yes, I did. I was a little girl, and I stood on the cellar steps and watched it. And I remember the lady doing that, but it was choppy because it's what the lines were loose that came through in them days. But now they're fine, of course. But yes, I saw the first television.
And after the war, then, he also made another set.
Yes, he did, after the war.
What about your grandparents, then? Did they live in Woodlesford?
Yes, they did. My granddad, Samuel Cook, worked at the colliery, and he was there when he was actually sunk, and water rushed into the gap, and at least three of his friends were drowned, and he never, ever got over the screams because they just couldn't get them out.
And he was on the surface when that happened?
Yes,
he was.
He was looking down into the hole that they were digging.
And what else did he tell you about what happened that day?
No, he didn't. That's as far as I know.
And he always talked about that accident?
Yes, he did. It upset him.
But nevertheless, he went on to be a miner there?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And he was a miner until he left, I suppose, until he retired.
Did you ever go down to the pit with him?
No. And my other granddad, he was at a colliery, but it was a different distance away, was my other granddad. But he cleaned chimneys as well. There were two of them. Yes, both my granddads in the spare time.
Do you think that's how your mum and dad got to know each other? Because of the chimney cleaning part?
Yes, it probably could be. But they never told me how they met each other.
And what about the pit ponies? Do you remember seeing them?
Yes, I remember the pit ponies. Yes, and there was a train that run down for colliery, you know, with trailers on. And the main line run past the houses. And they did used to run trips on the night to the coast. And we used to go on those. And my dad used to play the piano accordion and take it with him. And entertain people in the little cabins coming back.
In the compartments on
the train?
Yeah,
he did.
Right.
Yeah, he did.
And this was on an evening in the summer,
was it? Yes,
it
was. Yes, evening trip.
And where did you go?
Oh, at Morecambe, Scarborough. All those places. Yeah.
What time did you set off?
Oh, it was about 6 o'clock, I think, as a rule. We used to come home very late. Because, I mean, we had to stay there to see the lights. So it got to be dark.
So you went to see the illuminations then?
Many times. I loved the school from the day that I went, and the people were good. It was worth living there. I weren't too clever in arithmetic, I will say that, but I was good at writing and copying down. And then all at once I was able to sing. And in later times, the headmaster was so impressed that he sent me to Manchester for a singing competition.
And do you remember going on that competition?
Yes, I do. I remember going to the Manchester BBC, just myself and my mum. And it was during the war because my dad was in the army. And they said that I really ought to have a little bit more training because I wasn't breathing properly, but I could sing and I certainly would be on a show in later life. But Mum couldn't because she couldn't afford to let me train.
And did you ever sing in a choir afterwards?
Yes, though? I did. I sang in a male voice choir. When I was in Woodersford, I was the only lady that sang in the male voice choir.
Can you remember the names of the teachers at Woodersford School?
There was Miss Kyle. She took singing music because I started to sing at school. And she took me under her wing, bless her, and she was a wonderful pianist. And then there was Miss Denton. She was in the infants, and Miss Wigglesworth was in the infants. Mr. Doman, he was in the higher up. He was a German man and came to live with a family in Woodlesford. Mr. Howells, he lived in Woodlesford. And then we had a lady, and they called her Annie Epworth, and she was a Jewess. And she was a lovely, lovely person. She was bow-legged, I'm afraid, and she wore long black skirts, but I liked her.
And what did she teach you?
Oh, arithmetic, mostly, and reading. She was a lovely lady.
So what did you do after school?
Well, we played out after school, usually with a skipping rope or whip and top, battledore, things like that. We played.
Battledore, what's that?
That was like a shuttlecock. Yes, yeah.
And did you have pocket money?
No. I used to be satisfied with sweets because Mother never did have a lot of money, and I was the eldest of four.
Where did you get your sweets from?
Annie Brooks on the bottom end of Midland Street, you know, on the main road. Yes, next to the confectioner's shop, Paley's. It were Paley's then, confectioner's. And this lady called Annie Brooke, she was a miss. And my mum used to get all her groceries from her. That shop is not there now.
And wasn't there a shop that sold sweets near the school?
Yes, Farrer's. They called it Farrer. Yes, and we got lots of little things from there. Sherbet dabs, what we liked. Toffee things.
And a shop called Cass and Smith's?
Cass and Smith's.
Where was that?
That was up those stairs in Church Street, up the steps, Cass and Smith.
So you had to go up some steps to get there?
Yes, but we didn't get our sweets from there because Farrer's were right opposite the school gate, so we used to go there.
How old were you when you left school, and can you remember what you did when you left school?
I was 14, and I went into tailoring, but I didn't like it.
Where was that?
Leeds, a place called Dixon and Gaunt's, a Jewish shop. They were good to me, but I didn't like it.
And what were you asked to do? What were you training to do?
Well, make clothes, but I didn't take to that.
How did you get into Leeds?
Bus. Yes, we used to go down North Lane to catch a bus.
So then what did you do?
Well, I left and then I found my way to Hulse's.
Now tell me about Hulse's. Where was it?
Hulse's was over a bridge near the station, not far from the station. And the front side of it actually went on to the water, the canal. And I worked there and I made shaving cream. I made it come from start to finish, packed and the lot. I did it all. I had a little room of my own and I made it all.
And what did you make it from?
Special oils and wax, and then we had to, when it was all cold, when it had melted, we put lavender scent in, and then sent it off by LMS Railway.
And what did you pack it in?
In boxes. Tubes first. We had what they call a tuber, and you pushed it on, and the end was open, the bottom end was open, you pushed it on forward, and then you got a little handle and knocked it down and fastened it up at the other end. And that was it. And we had jars as well with lids. Shave Easy, they called it.
Shave Easy.
Easy. Aye.
So tell me more about the company. Who owned Hulses?
That I can't tell you, I'm sorry. I never saw the man that did own it.
Because it's F. Hulse or Fred.
Yes, I know. Yes, it could be. But I think it was a foreign firm, to be honest. I think the man was foreign. But I only knew the man that run it, and that was Mr. Dennison. He was the boss. Well, he put me into this little hall where I could make this shaving cream and that.
What else did they make?
They made jet glaze. Yes, and jet glaze was something that you painted on, and it was used on iron, steel and wood and leather, etc. And it was quite a good stuff. Instead of black leading, you painted that on.
So it's like a paint?
Yes, a paint. That's exactly. Varnish paint. It were good. And we made moth killer as well.
And how many people were working there?
I should say probably about 30, probably.
And what was the factory like? Was it a dirty, smelly sort of place?
No, it wasn't. No, it was good to work in because the cleaner kept it very nice. No, I liked working there.
And the buildings, what were they like? What were they made out of?
Well, brick.
They were brick buildings?
Yeah.
Do you think they made paint as well?
Yes, they did.
And did you make friends at the factory?
Yes, I did. Everyone. And the office staff was very nice. They were up the stairs in the special office.
And where did those people come from?
Most of them came from Woodersford and Knowlton, but some came from Methley. At least five came from Methley, which is next to Woodersford. They used to come by bus, yes.
Not by train?
No, by bus.
How long did you stay at Hulses?
Probably about 5 years, yes.
And what did you do after that?
Well, I went to Waddington's then.
Uh-huh. Yes. To do what?
Delarue. To make the money, you know, counting and things like that. They make foreign money.
Oh, I see.
At Waddington's. Delarue part it was, what they call Delarue. And we used to make, it was printed on big machines and then left to dry. And then it was cut up on the machine and we packed it.
So this isn't monopoly money then?
No, it isn't.
It's proper money?
It was money.
And what's this book you've got here that says
it's
autographs book?
I won't part with this. I mean, all these people are dead now. Look, yeah.
Right.
That's my dad's writing. Right.
And what does he say to you?
If a thing is worth doing, it's worth doing well. That's what Dad wrote. And this is a girl at school. Love is like a cabbage cut in two. The leaves I give to others, but the heart I give to you. Oh, it's funny. It's funny.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
There's all kinds of things in. They're
What are these?
Ration books.
And whose ration books are they?
My friends. I haven't got mine. I don't know. Probably I have them somewhere, but I can't remember where. But these are a friend of mine.
And what did you use ration books for in the war?
We had to give them up. You had to give points. You couldn't have anything without you give your points in. They're cigarettes, aren't they? Woodbines.
Did your dad smoke?
Oh, he did. He smoked woodbines just until the day he died. And Dad had to have his cigarettes whether anybody had food.
Do you know how many he smoked every week?
Oh, yes, he smoked quite a few.
And did he buy them himself or did your mum buy them?
My mum bought them, yes, from the little shop Andy Brooks next door to Paley's bread shop. That was Dad's downfall, was smoking. But then he stopped, you know, because I'll tell you why. Because one day I looked at him and I thought, what's that on my dad's head? And I said, Dad, you've got a growth on your head. And he says, I know, isn't it dangerous? I said, it's a cigarette tree that's growing. He said, you what? I said, I bet it is. I bet you've smoked that much that it's affected your head. He stopped. It sounds funny, but it did. It stopped him because my mother couldn't believe it. She said, he believes what you say, Lorna, that it's caused through smoking. Anyway, it did him a favour.
And as you say, he lived to 90.
He did.